It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 8th day of September 2022. This is The Horn. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you pop by the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Ralphs and New Jersey Nick and Natural and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage field navigator, chose not to fold space into 102 degrees or much, much higher in the man cave. Yeah. Did I miss somebody? Hey, Theo. I don't see that you bailed out of the room, but I see you. So, yeah, hey, you too. I wasn't leaving anybody out, at least not intentionally. Let's see. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we begin by thanking our 8th day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means we say thanks in particular to Sue up in the Great Northwest, and to Dwayne, and to Marcia and Nancy. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. It's a tremendous help to have the folks along for the ride, on board in this attempt to keep liberal, progressive, internet-based broadcasting afloat. Where do we stand fundraising wise? Well, again, the whole of September remains unfunded. The fundraising goal is $1,755. I hate even saying that. You know I despise that. I wish I was independently wealthy, but you know, we sold off the Maybach and the Gulfstream and the hangar is just a big empty space. The pool boy ran off with the cabana boy, and there's just a bunch of leaves floating in the kidney-shaped Olympic swimming pool. So, I hope we can not do a goose egg again tonight. We've been goose egging rather frequently. We shall see what we shall see. I was sitting there doing my reading and prepping and everything earlier today, and all of a sudden my phone started going absolutely bonkers with notifications, and I read them and went, well, there goes the news cycle for a while. Yeah. The coin shuffled off this mortal coil today at the tender age of 96, struck down in her prime, and the sceptred isle now has King Chuckles and Princess Consort Camilla. Never mind. Sorry. It was awful. I don't think it's exactly a secret that I hold little to no regard for concepts of royalty and monarchy and notions that somehow there's some portion of one's corpuscles that render one, that confer upon one the divine right to tell everybody else what to do. That seems so very beginning of sedentary agricultural humanity to me. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, all royalty originates as a protection scheme, a racket. And it so has remained unto, yea, verily, this day. But I guess there's going to be some sort of massive outpouring of grief or some other emotion in the UK. And, you know, poor Joe Scarborough is probably already wearing widow's weeds. He's such a pathetic little royal fawner. You know, if he'd been around in 1776... Wait. What's the problem with George III? I mean, look, they're regal, and he wears pretty high heels and hose, and my goodness gracious, look at that ermine stole. And that crown. I know. Brother Deacon Asa says, God save us from the tin pot king. Asa asking a moment ago, because Asa is, of course, in Canoodlia. God damn it! All of this news and commotion, and all I could think of was, are we now going to have to put Chuck's Kisser on our $20 bill up here? Probably. Personally, I think this would be a great time for Canoodlia to shed the monarchy and just be Canada and feel no sense of it. Because I'm guessing maybe the indigenous people in Canada and maybe the Quebecois in Canada feel something less than a natural affinity for that family. So now it's... It'll go to the crown. He's already become king. I don't know if he's going to stay Prince Chuckles. He could also be King Philip. He could be King Arthur. No, really. His name is Charles Philip Arthur Louis Battenberg. No. Windsor. Yes. They're no longer German tourists. They've been ensconced as the world's wealthiest welfare family in England for a couple of generations now. So they're not German tourists anymore. They're just a blight on. But then again, I can understand why, when you finally decide you want to be shed of the monarchy, and what you get in replacement is Oliver Cromwell. Ugh, no wonder they wanted their monarchy back. I get it. I mean, but what an inauspicious beginning for that godforsaken new prime minister. Oh, okay, it's already been announced. I didn't realize that. Brother Deacon Asa informing me he will be King Charles the Turd. Yes, Chuck the Turd. That's too close to Chuck the Toad. I wonder if there'll be confusion over on the Meet the Press set. Chuck Toad, Chuck Turd, Chuck Turd, Chuck Toad. Now we've got enough for bridge. So henceforward, finally, at the age of 70 something, he gets to be king. And while the people of the UK have been put through, God alone knows how much misery via things like economic turmoil and Brexit, and well, they'll forget all about that in throwing the huge party for her funeral and the huge party for his accession to the throne. And someone sitting there, you know, eating some stale crumb will look up and say,
"Oh, well, I do feel so much better about the empire now. Well, more, please."
Sorry, thank you. King chuckles the turd. But he does at least have something in the way of a decent reputation in terms of climate change. Maybe he can speak to the people and get them. But then again, getting Europeans to understand climate change is not nearly as difficult as it is to get, you know, Emery and Marveline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers at the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Park to realize that climate change is, in fact, quite real. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Irish Dave. He is pretty good on climate change. So that sort of takes, not here necessarily, but it had an impact on today's news and probably tomorrow's news and the news the day after that and the news the day after that. One thing we know for sure is it's had an impact over in Cuball land. No, really? Darlene in Connecticut shared this with me. I'd seen it pop as well. Over at Vice, QAnon is losing it over the Queen's death. Because, of course, the Q-balls think that the coin is a member of the Anunnaki. You know, the lizard people who... the lizard people who run humanity. Over on Telegram, the following. May she burn in hell for eternity. So happy. The evil witch is dead. Because they've been fulminating over the Queen for quite some time. They're preparing the black mass and baby buffet as we sit here. I think you'll find she's already gone. Cue up the Eagles. She's been dead. They had to find the right time to break the news. And another cue ball out there. She died several months ago. Remember, she went through a transition or whatever. That was the embalming process. CGI and body doubles are in place. And picking up on that thread, another bizarro. She's been CGI for a while now. Wonder why it is being announced now. That with a picture of her shaking hands with Liz Truss, the new prime minister. Yeah, congratulations, Liz. So many congratulations. What a way to start your premiership. That old lady doesn't even look like the queen, LOL. Maybe that's the cleaning woman, but that isn't the woman who's been playing the queen. And it was, I think, a week, according to Vice. A week after the very first QAnon posting over at 4chan, the following popped up. Who is the Queen of England? How long in power? With power comes corruption. What happened to Diana? Because, well, Liz had Di bumped off because, oh dear God. Well, and then the Queen was executed by a military tribunal for having Diana bumped off after Di learned about a blackmail scheme with Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know why they let the cue balls on Twitter, but then again, there's a lot of people I don't know why are allowed to be on Twitter. But this shit's going nuts. Queen Elizabeth is dead. Confirmed. Queen Elizabeth was scheduled to be executed by the military tribunals, which are taking place in the U.S. and the U.K. These tribunals confiscated the Queen's illicit funds in December of 2016. Her death sentence for numerous crimes was issued July 13th and 30 days later enforced. What crimes has the Queen personally been guilty of? She had Diana killed. Because Diana had learned of the Epstein blackmail scheme, Netanyahu and his Khazarian banking empire at the helm. The Queen is part of the Nazi bloodline. The Illuminati control was fully involved. Somebody commenting. What was the official time of death? That should be a moment to celebrate. God, these people are such sickos. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Oh, and by the way, other members of the Anunnaki, other lizard people. Oh, nice, New Jersey, Nick. Queen Anon. That's quality. Steve in New York noting a 2016 execution. Wait for it. Thanks, Obama.
Jesus.
Let's see, other Anunnaki reptile people. Henry Kissinger, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Bob Hope. No, Bob Hope. And then, let's go. It's all in the plan. Be ready. The Queen announcement is the beginning. Let's go. There will be 10 days of darkness that Q predicted would happen when Trump's return was imminent. Elizabeth II was shown the photo of the real and true queen before she was executed. That of course, was from Romana Didulo, who calls herself the Queen of Canada. Yeah, see, that's the problem. I agree, Steve. That's the problem with these wild-ass conspiracy theories, is that they always contain a little shred of something that you kind of go, maybe. And you know, that's, Steve in New York said, Kissinger as a lizard person? That I'd believe. Undead motherfucker. I mean, oops, sorry. Early F-bomb to the program. My apologies. Oh, dear, the boys frying Brussels sprouts. God, they're so good. Yummy. I wonder, Ron in Raleigh writes, do you think that King Donald I will attend the royal internment? He believes he's royalty, doesn't he? Bernie Shaw passed as well at the age of 82, when newsmen were newsmen. Liz was coronated 2 years after I was born. She and her mama had a good run. Later, Queenie. Yeah, I saw the notice of Bernie Shaw's passing. It was interesting because last night I was reminiscing about Bill Tush, who in the early days of WTCG, which later became WTBS, which became TBS, which became the Superstation, and I think is, oh God, owned by some movie corporation now. But in those early days, he would do the early news. And I would get up early just to see, because it was hilarious. And then I get up, and of course, you know, he was a fixture in the early days of CNN. I'd see him around CNN Center from time to time down in Atlanta, and saw him at the Techwood Drive Studios before we moved. And I once explained how those early days of those early morning wackadoodle newscasts, just to satisfy some FCC requirement, I think eventually turned into the little seed of an idea that became the 24-hour news cycle and CNN and, yeah. And then, of course, Bernie Shaw was the first main anchor, lead anchor at CNN. Unfortunately, the things that people do tend to haunt them when they die. And so rather than remembering a great news anchor, the first thing that popped into my mind was when he asked the "What if Willie Horton raped your wife, Governor Dukakis?" question during the debate. Seedy, slimy, creepy, gross, and designed, it seemed, to tank the prospects of Governor Dukakis as opposed to Pappy Bush, you know, the criminal, because he was. And I remember Bernie at the beginning of Bush War One, broadcasting from, what was it, beneath a table in a hotel room in Baghdad? Yeah. So, you know, farewell, Godspeed, fair winds. And compared to the, frankly, whatever, you know, whatever knock on his reputation came from trying to tank Michael Dukakis's campaign, he was still orders of magnitude better as a newsman than 99% of the folks who ply that trade now. Just not a lot of greatness out there. So, two obituaries to begin Thorn in the Side Thursday. What's that? Hi, Kim. Kim in New York. Did you happen to see this chestnut? From courtesy of the ghoul Stephen Miller, Kim directs our attention to the following tweet. You know, no, that's Stephen Miller. "Her Royal Majesty's passing is not only a tragedy for England, Britain, the UK, and Commonwealth, but all decent people everywhere. Queen Elizabeth was our last link to a lost age of magic and glory, radiating our world with light. After a life of service, she rests in God's kingdom." Wow, dude, your prose is too prolix. "Last link to a lost age of magic and glory," Kim notes, "you know, when colonization and racism was in flower." His use of God is nothing less than obscene. You're absolutely right, Kim. thanks for the sour persimmons, sister. Matt in San Francisco says, "I'm not much for royalty. I do love a queen, though. Liz had some serious tiara action. When I saw the picture of her meeting with the new prime minister, I thought, boy, she doesn't look like she has much time left. I think she just wanted to join her husband in the great big castle in the sky." Does Charles get to... Good question, Matt. Does Charles get to wear the jewels? Are there a bunch of male crowns and other accessories he can adorn himself with so everyone knows he's the new head blue blood that must be bowed to? So many questions. Rest in peace, Queen Elizabeth. Charles should be very adept in his new role. He's had 70-plus years of preparation. Bring forth the flowers. Lay them upon the gate to Buckingham Palace. Yeah. In fact, at the time of Liz's passing, he was the oldest known royal heir in history. At the very least, British history. And I'm sure he was figuring he would have been, you know, given the age at which his grandpa died, he was figuring he would get to be the king a lot sooner. So he'll get to enjoy all the privileges of being the King of England. And for a lot of people, that probably is expressed... It sounds weird. Because they've only ever known that England had a queen. The longest-serving monarch. And... after him comes Prince Billy, and after Prince Billy comes Prince George, and Harry has slid way down the list. I think he's like fifth in line now. I don't think Harry's particularly keen to be King of England anyway. Billy. Well, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad Chuck didn't take King Arthur, aren't you? Somehow I can't see Chuck resting a sword from in a stone with his trusty steed Camilla by. Oh my God! Stop that. That woman is just so awful, though. Oh, she's terrible. But there is there's other stuff going on today. We will discuss it. David the Blind noting, Queen Elizabeth dies and Charles lives, proves there's no God. While I've never been a huge fan of the monarchy, Queen Elizabeth's mother and father had my respect because during the Blitz they refused to leave London. Now a religious freak is the head of the Church of England, or will be when he accedes to the Trump. Signed, your buddy Dave and the Blind. Is Chuckles a religious wackadoodle? That was one last dig that Liz got in. She expressly forbade Camilla to be the queen, insisting that she be a princess consort instead. Hey, Camilla. What's 1 + 1? Here's a carrot. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm thinking Charles will probably wear that unit with the ermine trim and the jewel on top. Oh, dear God, the pageantry is going to be nauseating. You know, there's a reason we had a revolution. And it was, the revolutionary spirit lives still in me. Bowing a knee to any other human being, I don't care if it's the Pope, the Dalai Lama, or the King of all the Englands, just is something repulsive to me. Although it did cause me to wonder if they will work the death of the queen into any of the scripts for... the upcoming season 3 of Ted Lasso. Yeah, I'm funny that way. So let's see if we can actually get into some news that matters. I've listened to this audio several times just because I find it so enjoyable. The gang over at the Lincoln Project are upping their Stoke the Stroke game with a new ad that ran on Fox News.
Former U.S. Secretary of Defense William Cohen says he agrees...
Hold on. Wrong, Linky. There we go.
Dear MAGA, we have some bad news. Not that he lost. Not that your little coup attempt failed, and its planners and the attackers are going to jail. No. The really bad news is why Trump told you he lost. Why he set it up way before the 2020 election. It wasn't voter fraud, but it was fraud. Trump told you the election was stolen to rip you off, to sucker you, to take your hard-earned money and shovel it into his pockets. He spent it on himself, not to take back the White House. It was the biggest scam in political history. Every dollar you sent him paid to keep his shaky business empire and lavish lifestyle going. It was a sucker's game all along. And you know who the sucker is? It's you.
Ouch. Damn, that's going to leave a mark. It's also true. And over on his flagging, failing social media site, Nitwit Nero went, well, cuckoo bananas. Because the Lincoln Project paid. Fox News ran the ad. And one supposes that Nitwit Nero began to bounce like a, you know, like a mad possessed orange tennis ball off the walls. The perverts and lowlifes of the Lincoln Project are back on. Where else? Fox News. I thought they ran away to the asylum after their last catastrophic campaign with charges made against them that were big-time sleaze and me getting many millions more votes in 2020 than I got in 2016. The Paul Ryan-run Fox has only high standards for Trump ads, but not for anyone else. The perverts should not be allowed to false advertise, and Fox News should not allow it to happen. See you all in court. Yeah, I'll bet. Because you do enjoy going to court, don't you? Don't you, you denizen of MAGA Loco, you? It's a beautiful thing. Meanwhile, responding to the threat of the lawsuit, Rick Wilson over at the Lincoln Projects, well, said, yeah, go for it. Do it up, Donnie.
Hey, folks. Wanted to say hi really quickly and to just give Donald Trump a message. Since you threatened to sue the Lincoln Project this morning, go for it. Go for it, bitch. Come at me. I can't wait. We're delighted by the thought that you would try to sue us, Donald. Do it. Do it. I double dog dare you. You know, when we put up the billboards in Times Square of Jared and Ivanka during the COVID crisis at the end of the 2020 campaign, we received this letter from Mark Kasowitz, Donald Trump's attorney, and it was this complete, you know, blustering shit show. Oh, we will certainly sue you. We read it in the Bane voice, right? You're not going to sue anybody, Donald. You're not going to do shit. You're not going to do a goddamn thing. You are weak. You are impotent. You are flabby. You are sitting there in the bridal suite at Mar-a-Lago or in the bridal suite at Bedminster, grinding your gears, wondering why that the Lincoln Project, no matter how many times you tried to kill us, keeps coming at you. You know why? We're here in this fight for the long haul because you are a threat to democracy. You are a threat to America. You are a threat to the Republic. You are a threat to the Constitution. You are a thief of classified documents. You are a traitor to this country. You've tried to overthrow this government and the system of our peaceful transition of power, and fuck you. We're here. You're not. We will keep kicking your ass every single day. So if you want to try to sue us, Donald, go for it. Throw down. Let's go. We can't wait. You won't do it because you are, in fact, as I said previously, completely impotent. Just ask Melania. Anyway, folks, other than that, it's a great day for America. Steve Bannon is looking at the inside of a jail cell once again. Donald Trump is raging in Mar-a-Go fuck yourself or Bedminster or wherever he is today.
Mar-a-Go fuck yourself.
It's a good day to be in the fight. Talk to you soon.
Well, okay. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. My goodness gracious. That was restaurant quality from beginning to end. Mara, go fuck yourself.
Oh, God, I want him to... Please, somebody there at Bed Monster or MAGA Loco, please make sure he sees this video. Please. It's too good for us to be the only ones who get to enjoy it. And it's true. He's not going to sue anybody. The discovery process would be, as he well knows, I'm sure, ruinous. But, you know, he'll tell his little pettifogger, someday hopes to be paid, to write another nasty gram.
And, like, put extra nasty in it. He said something about melanoma. You say something about his wife.
I know, impotent. Just ask melanoma. Steve caught that, too. Now, that deserves a cowbell. That's why I just passed out an extra long cowbell for that clip. I could just watch that over and over. Because that's what people need to have been saying to him every day of his life since, like, onset of puberty. You got to cherish these moments when they come along, but... Rick Wilson noting that it's a great day for America because we had the quote yesterday, you know, from that man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, racist Bannon. How many times do I have to tell you to leave Bandit alone? Remember, though, from yesterday? They'll have to kill me first. Your offer is acceptable. No. He's still very much alive. And he has been booked. But... he was delivered by limousine to the Manhattan DA's office amidst great cries of his personal persecution.
This is irony. On the very day the mayor of this city has a delegation down on the border, they're persecuting people.
Can't hear you, David.
Stop pushing me, David.
Can't hear you on this side.
60 days
from
today.
Okay, so they were standing there yelling at him, and he's in custody. There's a guy in a jacket with a badge on the jacket standing next to him. And somehow or another, racist Bannon, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, gets to stand and deliver a soliloquy. Claiming that he's being persecuted. Next time there's footage of someone else being arrested, maybe, you know, just some average human being or some person of color, let me know when the cops let him stand there and yell to all and sundry that he's being persecuted. I mean, was he waiting for Jack Ruby to show up and standing there? I'm just a patsy. That privilege is some privilege. I really don't think anybody else gets to do that. But yeah, I have to say that there's a mayor has a delegation at the southern border, and I'm being persecuted. Can you imagine his lawyer? Listen, Steve-O,
you're gonna have to surrender yourself. You can't do a, you know, you can't do, no, you can't do a standoff with the Federales. These aren't the Federales. This is New York State. That's why your pardon doesn't work. Yeah. And I guess he's and again, he referenced the southern border when this entire thing stems from a grift that he ran. To hustle the maggots for money to build the wall, and from which he profited to the tune of, oh, yeah, $1 million or so. I presume he is out on bond now, personally, with somebody who was behind, given that he was behind part of a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States. You know, maybe a couple of $1 million in bond, maybe $15 million would have been good, but no, he's pissing and moaning. And by the way, he was Tish James, the Attorney General of New York, was to have a press conference at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Ron in Raleigh wants to know, how many shirts was he wearing? A clothier friend wants to know. Oh, let me, you know, I didn't count. Hold on. I count at least two. He's got a shabby black sport coat on over a rumpled black dress shirt, and I think there's a black T-shirt under it, or maybe a black polo shirt and a black T-shirt. Yeah. And he gets out and shakes hands with the guy with the badge on his jacket. There's a guy with a guy with a kippah on his head in the foreground of the video. Looks to, the guy with the kippah appears to be some sort of official functionary as well. And the other guy, once he starts ranting and raving, just, you know, had his hand gently on Bannon's arm, leading him into the facilities. And then he just takes his hand off of his arm and lets him rant and rave for a little bit. Of course, maybe, I mean, this is a possibility. Maybe they were hoping he would make some sort of statement against interest because, well, anything he said could and would be used against him in a court of law. Dum-dum. And back to Dead Liz. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan says, long sleep the queen, good God. Here we go. Wall-to-wall, catty K pontificating about the unbearable loss of the over-pampered, over-indulged, I hit the bloodline lottery heiress. You'll have to help me out, because I'm not up to speed on monarchy mourning protocol. Do they haul her carcass around for 3 weeks while the subjects follow said carcass around like a great... Steve! While the subjects follow said carcass around like a Grateful Dead show. Will the female subjects try and out-dork themselves with goofy-looking feathered hats? Those... Now, Steve, those are called fascinators. I have since learned that. Those dorky-looking... Grateful Dead show. Okay, we're going to have to add this one to your greatest hits list, Steve. Oh, I don't know why that hit me like it did, but it did. Oh, God.
drag a collar carcass around for 3 weeks while the subjects follow said carcass around like a Grateful Dead show. Need a miracle. Need a miracle. Hey, we're toasting cheese sandwiches over here. Grateful Dead show.
Friend of the devil is a friend of mine. Come on, Robin. Collect your wits. What little you have.
Grateful Dead.
Steve in New York noting old racist Bannon better be careful. He should be scared if they put him in a cell. He'll get Epstein'd. Now, there you go. There you go teasing us with something that would be absolutely delightful. He could drag his carcass around like a Grateful Dead show. I'll be okay in a minute. I swear I will. Dear God. It's a pretty good Thursday, isn't it? No, and I'm not talking about Queen Elizabeth dying. I'm talking about the Steve Bannon and the nitwit Nero throwing a hissy. I should get to this. You're absolutely good. Had a note from Jake in Columbus. From the This Just In department, the NRA roulette wheel of death stops in Memphis today. Another incel massacre live streamed. Less than a week after a 34-year-old woman was, and mother of twins and kindergarten teacher, was kidnapped and murdered. Well, a 19-year-old man is in custody after he live-streamed part of the shooting spree he went on. He killed 4 people, maimed 3 others, sent the entirety of the city of Memphis into a state of terror. Memphis officials telling people not to leave their houses. Bus and trolley service was suspended in Memphis. They stopped a minor league baseball game. And now the mayor, Jim Strickland, said, "I'm angry for them. I'm angry for our citizens who had to shelter in place for their own safety until this suspect was caught. This is no way for us to live, and it is not acceptable. The people of our city were confronted with the type of violence no one should have to face." And yeah, he streamed at least one of the murders on Facebook Live. And eventually Ezekiel Kelly was arrested after a high-speed pursuit. That according to a news conference earlier today. And once again, similar to the case of the young woman kidnapped and murdered. Well, her kidnapper had done time for kidnapping already. He'd done 20 years out of a 24 year sentence. And as Jake points out, it's hard to tell if this guy was an incel or just a mad dog criminal. But the thing is, Ezekiel Kelly got released from the joint this past March. He had served 11 months of a 3-year sentence for aggravated assault. And he pleaded guilty to a lesser included offense after being charged with, among other things, attempted murder, reckless endangerment, and using a firearm with intent to commit a dangerous felony. in a case coming out of Shelby County in 2020. Mayor Strickland said, if Mr. Kelly served his full three-year sentence, he would still be in prison today, and four of our fellow citizens would still be alive. And apparently he had an AKA. He was known as Zeke Huncho. And the shooting started at like 1 a.m. yesterday and continued all day long into the evening. Like I said, there was a shelter-in-place order. Shelby County Sheriff Floyd Bonner said, our citizens in Memphis and Shelby County were going about their business, getting off from work, picking up children from daycare, just going about their ordinary lives when it was all of a sudden shattered. Many families will never, ever get over the horrific violence that we saw that one individual inflicted on the city tonight. And the first victim was identified as Dwayne Tunstall. Ezekiel Kelly pulled him aside and shot him in the head. Then at 4:38 yesterday afternoon, they found another man in his car with multiple gunshot wounds, pronounced dead at the scene. And then at 4:40 p.m., there was a shooting where a woman had a gunshot wound to the leg. A little over an hour later, another shooting. Ezekiel Kelly was on Facebook Live when he opened fire inside the store. And, well, suffice to say that with both defendants being the kidnapper, murderer, and this murderer, expect a shitstorm of racist shrieking, because both men are black men, young black men. And, of course, there will be no accountability coming out of the court system or the state government of Tennessee, because, well, it's a maggot state, and if people get, well, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. I'm amazed that he's alive. There were two visible weapons in the vehicle when, Kelly was taken into custody. There will, I think it's just to be expected that there will be a complete and total racist spasm. You gotta wonder. Some of this sounds like maybe he was getting even with perceived enemies. Or maybe knowing he was headed back to the joint, he was doing someone else's bidding. At least with him being alive, there's a chance to find out the background of some of this. Jake pointing out the fact that this guy shut down the city, served just 11 months for a three-year sentence for some quite violent felonies, but was brought in alive, despite his color. I'm frankly surprised. Flavio noting, hey Flavio, Memphis is a lovely city, great people, it's the best of Tennessee, just like Louisville is the best of Kentucky. I've been to both. I love both. I'm so sorry for them both. Memphis is a very, a really special place. And you hate to see this come to anywhere. But as Don in West Tennessee pointed out, there's a lot of crime in Memphis. And probably not surprising. And what I mean by that is that Memphis is largely Democratic, so that means the Republicans in the government, in Tennessee's government, absolutely hate Memphis. And frankly, could not care less when things like this happen. I wish I didn't think that way, but I can't help it. Also breaking news, thank you, Gary Laborman, letting us know that the Department of Justice has filed an appeal of Aileen Cannon's batshit ruling with the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't know how they could avoid it. Because you can't let this you can't, at least in theory, let this garbage stand. Of course, this now requires the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals to get it right, and they are not a court of appeals that's known particularly well for getting things right. But if you let a district judge just do this, then there's a, you know, who knows? Reed O'Connor out in Fort Worth might decide to do something wackadoodle too, because the wackadoodle MAGA judges, and you know the judges who are even appointed by people like W or HW, they're still out. There are still H.W. Bush appointees out there, hard as it might be to believe. You know, people have been on the bench for 30 years and more. Senior status judges. And, you know, it only takes one. And then the next thing you know, you've got a frenzy. But these judges are more than willing to tear everything all to pieces, because that's why they're there. That's why they've been vetted by the Federalist Society and whatnot. So, we got plenty to talk about today, that's for sure. And after their big Labor Day hiatus, our pals Brad and Desi are back with Green News. And so I think maybe we'll check in and see what they've got and see if there's anything in particular you want to talk about. Thank you, Colin, out in Iowa. Thank you so much. Colin just got us down to $1,730 to go in fundraising. Thank you so much for getting us started. I hope you'll have a lot of company this evening. It would be wonderful if you did. Thank you so much. In the meantime, if you'd like to go hit the PayPal button at headon.live, please feel free. And if there's something, if there's a bee under your bonnet or a burr under your saddle, well, don't leave it there. Let it see the light of day. And for now, we'll see what Brad and Desi are up to.
It's Tuesday, September 8, 2022.
We're heading to the worst part of this heat wave, and the risk for outages is real, and it's immediate.
Historic heat wave strains electric grids in the U.S. West.
Russia's actively manipulating the gas market.
Russia's new threat to shut off all energy exports to Europe. Plus,
just the scale of the flooded area, the numbers of people involved, It's truly horrific and frankly frightening because it's such an obvious indicator of the impact of climate change.
Humanitarian crisis unfolds in Pakistan amid catastrophic flooding.
All of that, crises and catastrophe, straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Given the scientific predictions this summer, with its oppressive and widespread heat waves, is likely to be one of the coolest summers of the rest of our lives.
Well, thank you for that terrible news, Gina Raimondo, Secretary of Commerce. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we are back after a week or so off. I'm sure everything is fine. There's nothing to report. No concerns about the climate as of today.
Oh, I wish that were so.
So do I.
However, I do have some good news for Jackson, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
Water pressure has been restored to the city after weeks of total shutdown. The city's water system was already fragile due to decades of underfunding and deferred maintenance, and then it was crippled last month by catastrophic flash floods. Jackson will get some repair funding from President Biden's infrastructure law, but on Tuesday, Mississippi's Republican Governor Tate Reeves, who previously vetoed new funding for Jackson's water system, said this.
I'm open to all options. Privatization is on the table.
Oh, great. I thought that was supposed to be the good news story. As a matter of fact, if you're starting with the good news, boy, the rest of this GNR must be pretty grim.
Well, yes, this summer of heat and floods is continuing in the United States. While we were out, Rhode Island and Georgia were the latest U.S. states to careen from drought to torrential rain and floods. Providence, Rhode Island, and Somerville, Georgia, 1,000 miles apart, were both hit with nearly a foot of rain in 12 hours over the Labor Day weekend, triggering flash floods that inundated neighborhoods and roadways and collapsed buildings.
We have seen this in about a half a dozen states in just the past month this year.
It's been about 8 or 9.
Oh, man.
In the U.S. West, a persistent, historic, extreme heat wave has entered its second week, breaking hundreds of temperature records and fueling deadly wildfires. In California, dozens of records have been shattered by 10 degrees or more, severely straining the state's power grid. State capital Sacramento hit a new all-time high record of 116 degrees. A new study projects that because of climate change, by 2050, dangerous extreme heat waves will likely hit at least 3 times more often around the world.
And it's not only the triple-digit temperatures, it's also the duration of this thing.
Exactly.
Day after day after day. It's amazing out here.
Scientists say the searing heat and deadly floods are part of the global pattern of man-made climate change, turbocharging extreme weather and pummeling our critical infrastructure. In other news, the United Nations is requesting nearly $170 million in additional aid for Pakistan, now facing a humanitarian crisis amid the worst flooding in the country's history. 2 months of torrential downpours and heat-induced rapid glacier melt generated catastrophic floods that have put one-third of the country underwater. At least 1,400 people are confirmed dead, 33 million displaced, and in dire need of food, water, and shelter.
33 million displaced?
Damages are in the billions, increasing calls for climate reparations, damage payments from rich countries most responsible for man-made climate change to developing countries like Pakistan that have contributed little to the crisis. In Europe, natural gas prices tripled after Russia refused to restart the European Union's main gas pipeline after a temporary shutdown for repairs. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday threatened to halt all energy sales to Europe if Western countries follow through with a proposed cap on Russian oil and gas prices. And finally, while we were out, California state regulators voted to phase out sales of new gasoline-powered cars, setting interim targets for carmakers to ultimately reach 100% zero-emission vehicle sales by 2035. More than a dozen states may follow California's lead, representing 40% of the U.S. car market.
So there's that. Beyond that, of course, we go away for a week and everything falls apart. Yeah. It was all so good before we left. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I know that feeling. You go away and everything goes to crap. I'm a little nervous, actually, because next week, I will be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And it makes my liver quiver to think about what we're going to be. Yeah. I'll be away from the mic. I'll be traveling on behalf of Cold River Mountain Watch. And, well, I just, well, I can't even speculate. I just can't. So we are into the second hour of the program. And I got a note from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, who's been, you know, reading things. Joy does that. Not even kidding here, she writes. According to Rolling Stone, Trump told associates he was concerned Biden would, quote, shred, bury, or destroy evidence that Trump was somehow wronged. Every word he utters is a projection or a confession of his own actions. And with many, many question marks and a face, bury? Joe Biden would bury evidence? You mean like in a big box in the ground at Bedmonster? I hate being this far down the rabbit hole. It's just too much. Michigan's Supreme Court has, by the way, for the time being, protected a woman's right to choose, saying that it's constitutionally guarded. But Joy notes, yes, Republicans wanted to send it back to the states to let the people decide. Now all the Republicans in Michigan are filling up the Great Lakes with their cries of unfairness and how it shouldn't be on the ballot in November, and I'm here for it, namely... Michigan Supreme Court approves abortion proposal for November ballot after the 5-2 ruling by the Michigan Supreme Court that abortion is protected. It'll be called Proposal 3, Reproductive Freedom for All, a constitutional fundamental right to reproductive freedom, including abortion care, contraception, infertility care, and sterilization. What the Supreme Court had been asked to rule on, the Michigan Supreme Court, was a 1931 law banning abortion, and the Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional. So now the legislature could, at least in theory, pass a new ban. One presumes that Governor Gretchen Whitmer, if they passed it, you know, with her, would veto it. But quite often, gubernatorial vetoes don't require the same two-thirds to override that a federal veto does. And apparently... Republicans there are butthurt that it's going to be on the ballot because, well, by God, they just, you know, they don't want, they may be outnumbered. And, of course, the maggots are barking and grunting and hooting. Well, this means abortion will be legal all the way up to viability. They're not even making even remotely sane arguments anymore. If a baby's viable, it's just born. What are they talking about?
It falls to voters now to reject this mistake-ridden extreme proposal on Election Day. We are confident that a majority will say no to Proposition 3.
Now, that's what the maggot says, but the fact of the matter is polling data in Michigan indicates that the proposition is overwhelmingly supported. Thanks, Joy. I hope it doesn't hurt the maggots too much. Oh, and back to the cue balls the coin. Brother Deacon Asa says the cucumbers are way behind the eight ball. Yeah, she was obviously dead for months, but they kept the announcement until they found her lizard people replacement. You think it's a coincidence that the new prime minister is one Liz Truss? Yes, indeed. And back to zero emissions automobiles, as mentioned in the Green News Report, Ron in Raleigh says, zero emissions, zero money. Has anyone given any thought to how poor people will be able to afford these zero emission vehicles? Have you checked the prices of even the least expensive EVs? How about people on fixed incomes? I know you're going to rush out and get your Tesla and have a dedicated 240-volt charging station installed at Shea Kincaid. Well, I mean, we've got room for it now that the Maybach's gone and the Gulfstream's gone, and probably should be able to wire one up in the hangar. A lot of roof space there. Maybe we can put solar panels up and charge the. Are you kidding me? You couldn't give me a Tesla. I used to think they were cool. Now it's just another Elon Musk crap fest. You know, those cars are built by abused workers to further enrich a libertarian gazillionaire so he can build his dream house on Mars. Get moving, Elon. Stand not upon the order of your Mars going, but Mars go at once. I find them intriguing. I really, really do. But zero emissions, zero money has some truth to it, Ron. And the fact that, and the problem is with the batteries and the like, you know, with infernal combustion engines, you can at least go out to JD Byrider and buy some broken down piece of shit with 250,000 miles on it and sort of scrape and toddle along for a little while. You know, you'll be 7 years paying it off and it'll stop running in year two probably, but at least you had a ride for a little bit. And the battery technology for the electric vehicles is just not that great yet, and the cost to replace the batteries when they're not warranted is, shall we say, prohibitive, to say the least. Basically, the only EVs or hybrids that I would look at this point are Hyundais, because last I checked, they've got 100,000-mile warranty on the battery, and in some instances, at least early on, they were offering up a lifetime warranty. Okay, breaking news. Labor man says, the queen is alive, seen in the Bahamas with the pool boy. Wait a minute. Does that mean he's left Becca and Cucky Jerry Falwell? Christopher noting, the queen's final handshake with Liz Truss Liz Truss' superpowers seem eerily similar to those of Billable Ricks. Any relation? I'm thinking this is some sort of X-Men-type genetic mutation.
Oh, don't let her near me. Don't let her... Oh, she's the angel of death. Whoa.
Wall-to-wall Caddy K.
Oh, Steve, I tell you what. You Steve and Georgia Stan, you kind of made the evening. Dragger carcass. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be better. I really am. So let's run over to the stress line real quick and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, God help the remainder of the British Empire.
I suppose so. Hey, Dave.
Well, I have good news on this day of deathly announcement.
Yes.
My cousin and my cousin's son, I guess that would make him my second cousin, and his wife are expecting a baby in 2023.
Aw, congratulations to the happy couple.
It was made today. The announcement was made today, so I would laugh if it ended up being born on my birthday.
Oh, that could be nice.
That would be funny because my uncle predicted that I would be born on his birthday, and he was 13 years old when he told my mother this. On his 14th birthday, guess what, Robin?
What?
I was born. I was born on his birthday. And I always told my uncle that if there was ever a third member of our family who was born on April the 8th, I would end up sending that child a gift. And we would form the April 8th Society. Because you can't really have a society with this kid. It doesn't work well.
Well, I hope it works out that way.
I hope so too. I hope you can be quite happy, and I know she'll be happy. He or she will be happy because I know her parents, their parents. So that's what's going on there. Christine just found out the queen had died, and she told me that she's been diagnosed with gallstones.
Oh, no.
So, no more pizza, no more fried chicken, things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, those bastards. But, yeah. They're not big enough for them to treat yet, but they're going to want her to radically change her diet. To which I commented, oh, nothing but vegetarian bullshit.
Now, hold on. Don't piss off the vegetarians in the community. You can eat a varied and quite delicious diet from a vegetarian standpoint.
Well, I did not rise to the level of an omnivore to eat strictly rabbit food. I refuse to believe that. I mean, it's okay if they want to, but I'm sort
I'm telling
of
Dave, you're, Dave, stop it. This is as bad as Scott with the popsicle last night. You're just first law of holes. You're in one. Quit digging.
Hey, then I refuse to eat anything flavored blueberry because of the popsicle incident last night. Take that, Scott.
Well, you know, I got one of my favorite little sinful breakfasts is to pop up to Swiftwater, another unpaid product placement, because they've got the most wonderful blueberry pancakes that they, you know, just, you know, they make the batter fresh and the fresh blueberries in it and the warm syrup and the softened butter. And I thought today, maybe some blueberry pancakes. And then last night came back to me and it's like, no blueberries for a while. Damn you, Scott.
I think we can. Now, however, on April the 8th, traditionally, our beloved Reds, Robin, play the San Diego Padres. So on April the 8th, I am going to be rooting for our beloved Red Legs to beat the bejesus out of those individuals from San Diego.
Now that's no fair taking it out on an entire city.
Why not? They're giving shelter to a would-be comedian. Scott is well known for his.
Oh, I mean, we did bomb Afghanistan.
That's right, and believe me. There are nights when I bomb or you bomb or Scott bombs, and there's plenty of bombs around the community, so why not? Of course, I might start referring to Scott in San Diego as the masked bomber, just to making reference to his comedic talent. But other than that, I'm doing okay. I love the QAnon comment. That was, I thought, very classy. And of course, the reason they don't get rid of the royal family is they're a tourist trap.
Well, they are in their own right. They are their very own tourist trap.
And so, I mean, now it remains to be seen whether Chuck will end up paying taxes like his mother did. She voluntarily paid taxes on her income after Windsor Castle burned. And the government restored it. She then agreed to begin paying taxes on her wealth. And so it remains to be seen if Chuck if Chuck will continue that. Yeah, he is kind of a religious freak. I made a reference to that. Before he got married the first time, he was visiting every kind of guru and religious charlatan. And some of his personal religious beliefs are a bit out there, which made one bishop in England ask, is this really the man we want heading the Church of England in the future?
Can't wait. Well, no, that's the wrong way to put it. I will be curious to see the casket. Let's just put it that way. Well, I mean, is it going to be studded with diamonds or encrusted or made of solid platinum or, you know, enough platinum to choke a rope head?
No, I doubt that. From what I've seen in the past, totally well-made oak coffin, but they've had this for 3 years. In the last couple of years, Charles has been taking over more for responsibility. They've been making the transition for the last, 5 years. And I honestly thought she was going to be like her mother and live to 104. I was talking to Christine. I said, you realize you're 63 years old and she came to the throne well before you were born. Her reign outlasted Queen Victoria's, ironically, by 7 years exactly. Because 7 years ago today, she had become the longest reigning monarch in British history. The goddess of irony is a good goddess after all.
Indeed. I guess she'll be buried where, at Westminster?
No, I believe she's going to be buried at Frogmore.
Frogmore?
Yeah, that's where Prince...
Oh, is that where Phil is?
Philip is buried. Phil's buried there, her uncle...
Wait, the Philsbury Doughboy? I'm so ashamed.
No, you're not, Robin. You're shameless. Let's face it. You're having your moment. You've been making fun of these people for years, and you're just letting your hair down and just going with the flow there. So that's good. I do believe that Steve Bannon, and I love the Lincoln Project latest spot. I'm going to pull that out the net and send it to my right-wing relatives.
Just to needle them a little bit.
Oh yes, just poke. You know, guess what? There's a new tactic in the right wing, grift world. Newsmax is now sending out solicitations for their magazine. And I can get a 36-issue subscription for the low price of, wait for it. Try to take a guess, Robin. How much do you think Newsmax is going to try and charge me for their right-wing spread every month?
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, normally they claim $300, but if I act now...
If you act now...
They'll lower that $200.
Don't delay.
Yes, if I pay out $200, I can get right wing bullshit for 36 months. But I figure, why do that? I'm on a fixed income, and I live in town of Indiana. I can turn on the local news and get all the right wing bullshit I want.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't have it right there in the bathroom with you.
No, that's not exactly true because I always carry my phone into the bathroom now. It's not like it was when we were kids, but when the bathroom was usually left as a private library and reading room.
Well, it's interesting you bring that magazine up because I had a message earlier today from our pal Nidia, who had a dentist appointment, and sent along a note. The dentist office had a copy of the Philadelphia Trumpet. The cover story, Israel's and Britain's Governments Fall, Is America Next? And an article that featured a graph, Bad Mothers. And Nydia said, Bad Mothers? This is in my dentist's office from this piece of crap, the Philadelphia Trumpet. And
who are they connected to?
No, I don't have the masthead. I could probably look it up, or somebody can. I'm sure it's some noxious right-wing, you know, shithole organization.
And it's all kind of clear.
Here, let me see.
It's kind of like one of those right-wing
World News, Economics, and Analysis based on Bible stuff.
Uh-huh.
Jeez. Ah. The Philadelphia Church of God. The Wikipedia entry says that it's a free magazine published by the Philadelphia Church of God, which I'm guessing isn't actually in... No, it's... I knew I'd seen this before. I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. I remember Philip Robstering on this years ago, because I, too, had seen it in a doctor's office. I think I saw it at the little doctor's office downtown. I remember tearing the pages out because they were so much fun. I had to bring it home and talk about it on air. No, the Philadelphia Church of God is not in Philadelphia. It's in Edmond, Oklahoma. You're garbled there, Dave. I don't know what's going on. What a beautiful hustle. The thing is produced via the church funds gathered up from the flock, you know, fleeced from the flock. And in order to be a member of the Philadelphia Church of God in Edmond, Oklahoma, you have to cough up 10% of your annual pre-tax, I presume, pre-tax earnings in order to be a member.
Now, why in the hell would I pay nearly $1,500 to get yelled at by a bunch of right-wing religious people?
Well, here's the fun part, though, and if Scott's listening, he'll go, yup. It's the successor in interest to something called The Plain Truth. Remember The Plain Truth, published by the Worldwide Church of God and Herbert W. Armstrong, and then his son Garner Ted Armstrong?
I thought that guy was an animatronic. They would never get rid of. Oh, yes, because we're always in the end times, and Jesus is coming, and after 2,000 years, let's take a nap. Yeah, you'd have to take a long time to keep it clean, Robin. I'm not working the 11:30 show yet.
You're not working the blue rooms yet?
No, well... It's, after 11:30, I tend to work blue. Before that,
I'm kind of wondering, Dave, how these things get into dentist office and doctor's offices. Are there like little Church of God gnomes who just slip in and kind of drop the magazine there on the Because it'll probably be the most current periodical in there, because any periodical in a doctor's office or a dentist's office or anything that's, you know, younger than, say, 1975.
But when I was a kid, there used to be always kids called cricket. And that was in doctor's offices, and that's how it was.
Oh, I remember Highlights for Children. And the
Highlights for Children was always in the...
And the Timber Toes.
Ranger Rick.
Yeah.
Ranger Rick magazine.
My weekly reader, which I guess what was the story about my weekly reader back during the dim leader administration? It went all right wing or something.
The thing is, even McGuffey Publisher.
Oh, now come on, McGuffey's readers were racist from jump.
Yes, but back in the 60s and 70s, you would see every once in a while in a doctor's office, McGuffey readers, because they were still being used in schools. They were still being taught when I went to kindergarten and first grade, back in the early 70s. And I still believe they're being published. But for years, they were the textbook of choice for over a century.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother, who started teaching in 1912, taught out of McGuffey's readers.
And what they probably still do is they'll approach the doctor's office or the lawyer's office or whatever, and they'll say, can we put our magazine in your office free of charge? And what they'll do is they'll have a section with three or four subscription cards, and they'll say, if you like this magazine, please subscribe. And people actually do use those subscription cards. My favorite was always the picture Bible. You remember the picture Bible?
Oh, yes, in living color.
In very soft city pastels, yes. And, you know, Jesus was always smiling, and there was always the story about him scolding his disciples about suffering the little children, which some right-wing dirtbags think means you have to torture kids. Never quite understood that, but I guess it's the literalists who don't know how to be literate. So, if King James Version of the Bible is the unerring word of God, well, where did that come from? Because I know James the First wasn't exactly born at the time of Jesus Christ.
No, and he wasn't exactly what you would call a straight arrow.
No, I don't know. He had his male favorite.
That's one way of putting it.
I mean, he did his duty for God and country, and got his wife knocked up, and that wasn't too often. It was more of a marriage of convenience.
Well, it's interesting that. I got a note from Matt in San Francisco a minute ago, Dave. Subject line, burying the queen. Does she get to be buried on the ninth hole of a golf course? Sometimes this community just taps into the zeitgeist. Because I just saw a story, it just came across. The former guy, expressed his sincere condolences in a statement, of course, probably on Truth Social, about the death of the Queen.
What a grand and beautiful lady she was. There was nobody like her.
Yeah, she tolerated the Trump staff in the party at Buckingham Palace. There was supposed to be Trump, the undead wife, and that was it. I think maybe Barron, too. But then Ivanka and the rest of the criminal class showed up unexpectedly. And the Queen threw some shade in Donald's direction for the intrusion.
Yeah, well, among other things, he patted her on the back. One does not do that with the Queen.
No, as a matter of fact...
But I love this. During an interview with Piers Morgan in April, Trump remembered having a great time with the Queen sitting next to her at dinner.
We talked the whole night, and somebody said, we've never seen her smile so much.
It's somebody.
We had a great time, and then they honored the United States, but they honored me that night, which is really the honor of the country. The top level, and I sat next to her. We talked the whole night, and somebody said, we've never seen her smile so much. We had a great time. She was laughing and smiling. They said they've never seen her have such a good time at a state dinner. You know, normally they're a little boring. Okay, this wasn't boring.
Because it's never boring when he's there and he starts eating with his tiny fingers.
But she had signals that she would give her staff.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of her signals, was get me the fuck out of here. Yeah,
it's kind of like when James Brown and his band would be playing, and he'd do one of those spin arounds and point at a guy in the band and go, "Ha!" That was actually a signal that your pay's just been docked. You clammed a note or some such. So I've got the statement here. Oh my God! What a public embarrassment! He really is. He's a metropolitan. Misanthrope.
Melania and I are deeply saddened to learn of the loss of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Together with our family and fellow Americans, we send our sincere condolences to the royal family and the people of the United Kingdom. Believe me, during this time of great sorrow and grief, there's never been greater sorrow than grief. Queen Elizabeth's historic and remarkable reign left a tremendous, but trust me, tremendous legacy of peace and prosperity for Great Britain. Her leadership and enduring diplomacy secured and advanced alliances with the United States and countries around the world. However, she will always be remembered for her faithfulness to her country and her unwavering devotion to her fellow countrymen and women. Melanoma and I will always cherish our time together with the Queen.
And this is the point where you have to ask, was Melanoma wearing clothes?
And never forget Her Majesty's generous friendship, great wisdom, and wonderful sense of humor. That time she put a whoopee cushion in my chair, well, I will always fondly remember, bitch. What a grand and beautiful lady she was. There was nobody like her. Our thoughts and prayers will remain with the great people of the United Kingdom.
He's never prayed a minute in his life.
As you honor her most meaningful life and exceptional service to the people, may God bless the Queen. May she reign forever in our hearts. And may God hold her and Prince Philip in abiding care.
Well, here's the thing, Robin. Why does he keep referring to himself? I mean,
because it's always about him.
According to his followers, he is God.
Yes.
So how can he hold the two dead bodies in his hands? I mean, in those tiny little hands. Yeah. Well, the goddess of irony has to be working overtime today.
Oh, and, to say the least.
I'm sure she's like, no, why didn't I get advance notice that this is going to happen today? today. I could have had my staff working overtime. But no, I have to be told at the last second.
I know.
We probably had to go out and hire underlings to do her bidding and all kinds of things. I mean, this kind of thing can be a mess in such an organizational snafu. But as long as we're talking about future royalty, what about Steve Bannon? And I'd be curious to find out how much they set the bail for. Because you know he had the money on hand, right?
Oh, it was probably just a signature. It was probably just a signature bail.
Oh, kind of like Kevin Spacey got in London. His trial doesn't start until June of next year.
Right, and I don't know when racist Bannon will be tried, but a couple of other things that have come across. I don't know if you were listening. We had the story a week or so ago about the South Carolina Republican who had his come to Jesus moment about abortion bans.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, a state senator by the name of Tom Davis. In the South Carolina legislature, has begun a filibuster. Because the South Carolina Senate is considering a near total ban on a woman's right to access reproductive care. And...
Well, they want to kill more women, okay.
Well, yeah, sure. But the thing is, 24 out of 46 Republicans have indicated... 24 out of 46 senators, all Republicans, have indicated they will vote in favor of the ban. They will vote after exceptions were allowed to allow abortions for rape or incest up to 12 weeks after conception. They'll have to get 26 votes to stop his filibuster. And the first attempt has already failed. And this guy says that he made a promise to his daughters that he would not vote to make the South Carolina 6-week abortion ban more strict because, I love this language, women have rights too. His daughters, he said his daughters told him, the moment we become pregnant, we lost all control over what goes on with our bodies. I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to let it happen. And he's been there since 2009, so he's got some seniority. The Supreme Court of South Carolina is reviewing the 6-week ban. And the 20-week ban is in effect at present.
And wasn't the Roe standard 24 weeks?
Yeah, thereabouts. And the governor called the legislature back into session and wasted shit tons, that's a complicated financial term, of South Carolinian tax dollars in a state that can barely keep, not even barely, can't keep its own roads paved, to make sure to shit on women even harder than they already have.
Well, you know, they're relying on the donor states to bail them out, like Mississippi's done. And the thing is, you know how to get Mississippi to repair the city of Jackson will water quickly.
Tell me.
You have the Supreme Court. You have the Supreme Court of Mississippi rule that the governor must drink nothing but city tap water until it is set, regardless of what's in the water. I guarantee you he'll move heaven and earth so that his bowels don't have to move so quickly.
Well, going back to South Carolina for a second, that bill, among other things, it says, well, you know, if you get raped or incested, you can have an abortion up to 12 weeks, but you have to report it to the police.
And here's the problem with that, Robin.
And the doctor has to report the abortion within 24 hours with the woman's name and contact information. That's going to discourage a lot of people.
That's draconian. But here's the other problem, and a lot of people don't think about this. But let's say you've got a victim of incest, a child. And she somehow gets the care she needs. Or, no, I'm sorry. They know about the pregnancy. They know about the incest. Her abuser, and I don't know if it'll be that case in South Carolina, but it probably will, can then sue for visitation rights.
It's all up in the air.
And possibly even custody.
Well, it's interesting in the South Carolina debate, there are three Republican women in the South Carolina Senate. And one of them, Senator Katrina Sheely, said, you want to believe that God is wanting you to push a bill through with no exceptions that kill mothers and ruin the lives of children, lets mothers bring home babies to bury them, then I think you're miscommunicating with God. Or maybe you aren't communicating with him at all. And that's kind of surprising. And they came up with the compromise that requires the rape or the incest to be reported within 24. These people are vicious and insane. Republican Senator Sandy Sen said, if what's going on in my vagina isn't an unreasonable invasion of privacy for this legislature to get involved in, I don't know what is. That is a Republican woman. That's an indication. That's a temperature taking. That's a barometric reading as to just how badly these goddamn the dominionist, the hardcore Republican, well, in the case of the Supreme Court, Catholics, have fucked up and stepped in it.
There's a dog that caught the pollen.
And
now that the dog has caught the pollen, what do we do with it?
Right, exactly.
I mean, because the old joke is...
Well, I'm surprised, frankly, Republican State Senator Sandy Sen, I'm surprised they didn't, like, censure her for saying vagina there in the sacred state house of South Carolina. I mean, she could have at least had the common decency to call them lady parts. Because remember, we had that jackass from Montana last night who said, oh, I've got it here. There's only one organ in a woman's body that is not there to serve a purpose for her, and that is her womb. The womb is a place set aside for another person who arrives as a result of a choice of a man and a woman to procreate. Uncle Daddy!
Yeah. I heard that last night, and I was like, what about a woman that's raped? That's not a consensual act. But I never confuse these people with facts, Robin.
No.
Because they'll say, well, Jesus will sort it all out. Well, you know what? These spiritually lazy bastards. Oh, Jesus will take care of everything. I don't have to do it. And that's being lazy. I mean, that's like going, okay, here, Jesus, you take care of it. I don't want to deal with it. No. And what about, okay, now since there are two Catholic magistrates on the Supreme Court have ruled, maybe we should look over at their priests in the Federalist Society and other things and go, Father, why don't we just start baptizing the unborn? Because remember, the Catholic Church does not baptize children who have not been born or who are still born or things
right,
like
yeah.
that.
And they go to limbo.
And they've been drifting away from that teaching for the last, 50 years. But,
yeah. About when they figured out the term limbo indicated something that was actually kind of fun that happened on a beach.
But you look over and I am going to, the next time I hear one of these priests go up, I'm going to look over and go, okay, so Father, if my wife finds out she's pregnant, does that mean we got to show up at the church door so you can sprinkle holy water on her crotch so the baby will get baptized?
Yeah, they don't take well to that. Well, you're going to love this. I have an audio clip here out of South Carolina. Yeah, you're gonna love this. I'm gonna just offer this up without comment.
Hockey puck warning?
Yeah, it's kind of hockey pucky. I don't know if that's a term, but it is now.
So, okay. I just want to make sure I understand what Senator from Anderson saying. He's saying that 16 and 17 year olds are mature enough to decide to get married, but they're not mature enough to be taught about contraception in school, and they're not mature enough to receive contraception on their parents' health plan, and they're not mature enough to get contraception from the health department, but they are mature enough to get married? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a fair question, and I'm happy to answer it. I think my position, when this has come up before, is if a 16 or 17-year-old, certainly if they have their parental consent and they wish to get married and their parents approve it, then correct. I don't have a problem with that.
But you just moved to table a bill that required parental consent to get birth control pills on the parents' health plan. Where's the logic?
Well, the logic is, I believe sex belongs within marriage because sex leads to children and children needs parents. And so I'm not in favor of the state paying for contraceptives for unmarried children. I don't think that's a good policy. I think children come from sex and children need mommy and a daddy.
He's making the word think do too much work entirely. That's some goon named Richard Cash.
Somebody who can't, Did you say he was a senator?
Yeah, that's a state senator from South Carolina. The bar is apparently pretty low.
Senator Cash obviously has not been able to engage his brain since birth.
Yeah, proof that a baby born without a brain can live outside the womb. I mean, there's Senator Cash right there.
Well, one could also make the argument that that's a genetic problem in the Trump family. Jeez. Look at Eric.
All you got to do is say, look at Eric. Yeah. Hey, Dave, I'm going to roll here, buddy. See if somebody else wants to jump into the conversation. And listen, tell Christine she's going to be just fine, and there are delicious vegetarian foods out there that she can enjoy. I mean, who doesn't love rice and beans?
Me?
You?
I don't like rice and beans.
Damned elitist.
Not unless it's heavily spiced.
And you know what? Chili made with extra firm tofu is absolutely delicious. And
now, can you grate that stuff so that it kind of looks like hamburger when you?
Yeah, you can the extra firm, you can crush it with a fork. And you can make it look like scrambled eggs. You can make it look like hamburger. And it takes on the flavor of whatever you're cooking with.
And I'd be using portobello mushrooms to add the meatiness.
Well, I mean, the extra firm tofu is pretty meaty anyway. But I wouldn't argue with portobello mushrooms in a pot of chili. Look into some Indian recipes. Oh, my goodness. You can eat absolutely delicious. Oh my God, Indian food, heavenly days, yes. All those beautiful spices.
Well, I'll try, but right now she's in a deep, deep funk because she has to say goodbye to all of her favorites.
What's she grieving the most?
Pizza.
Ooh. All pizza?
They said any fatty food, bread, anything like that. I'm like, so basically they want you to eat nothing but vegetables.
Well, but you know what? There is, there's quite tasty keto bread out there now. And
we've made
toast with it and everything. Can't tell the difference. It's quite good. I really need to jump on that. I need to jump on the keto diet myself. But keto is the exact opposite of what they're talking about with Christine, because Christine, they're trying to eliminate fats from her diet.
Right.
Yeah. She'll be okay.
No, I almost visibly wept when she told me she had to give up pizza, because pizza has been like, part of our relationship from the very beginning. And, giving up a pepperoni sausage and mushroom pie, there's something cosmically wrong with that, Robin.
Yeah, I get it. Well, hadn't had pizza in ages. Had one the other night. It had salami, gabagool, pepperoni, sausage, and this beautiful garlic aioli over it on a really good crust.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh, it was salami. Did I mention salami?
My arteries are hardening just thinking of it.
Oh, it was magic. But I wiped out half of that thing without even thinking. Anyway, Dave, have yourself a good night and give our best to Christine.
I will.
All right.
Thanks, Robin.
Sure thing. You take care. Bye now. Our buddy Dave in the Blind, I forgot to tell him to say hi to the gang down at the shop. Doggone it. And we are just a little bit into the third hour of the program. We are down to, what did I say, 1730? Yeah, $1,730 is the depth of the hole. And I'm not kidding when I say that the hole is deep and the hole is desperate. Because when we don't manage to fund, well, shut up, Robin. Nobody wants to hear it. Let's keep things going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, hi there, hello there.
Hey, Tracy, what's up, dear?
Well, no, I was listening today, talked about Chrissy, because my mom had her, she had her gallbladder removed, or?
No, Christine has been diagnosed with gallstones.
Gallstones, okay. I could tell her that, because I feel the pain about not having pizza, but cauliflower crust ain't too bad.
Nah, it's not terrible. I tried it.
It's not terrible. I mean, you know, it's not the same as...
See, I hear cauliflower this, and I love cauliflower. Make no mistake. I love cauliflower. But there was...
Half and never.
It was the first Sunday I could really get out and drive around Birmingham, and Annette and I were going to go down to Big Bad Breakfast because I had a terrible hankering for their tomato gravy.
Yeah.
And the line was out the door, and they were getting ready to close, and I didn't want to be that person, you know what I mean? And so, but I was getting on toward hungry, and my blood sugar was dropping, and it said, "The hell with it, we're going to eat somewhere." And there was a place, and I guess it's a local, I don't know how local it is, but it's a chain of some sort called Zoe's Kitchen. And we walked in, and it was a Mediterranean place, you know, grape leaves and the like. And I got this lunch combo that came with riced cauliflower. And I thought, well, I like rice and I like cauliflower. Cauliflower shaped rice will probably be pretty good. Oh, Tracy, it wasn't. It was so bad. So terribly, terribly, awfully, god-awfully bad. Because, and there were some, you know, there were some other things served around it. It was a bowl. And the riced cauliflower was in the middle of it, and it was ice cold.
Cold. Oh.
And obviously the fact that it still lives in my memory, something like 9 months later says something. So, yeah, I mean, but I did. I tried the cauliflower crust pizza. It wasn't horrible. But.
Well, in defense of rice cauliflower, and you know I'm not, you know I am not one to defend any kind of vegetable.
Not one to defend any kind of vegetable? Wait, we knew you were a grape supremacist. And a raisinist.
A raisinist?
But now you're...
No. In other words, it's not like I go out of my way to defend vegetables. I mean, I eat vegetables, so please, God, don't let people think that I do not eat vegetables. I do. God!
I'm still proud of grape supremacist.
Great supremacist. Even my mother, when I told her what you said, she hollered. She's like, everybody get I've told. She's like, you're a raisinist. That's a great supremacist. And I was like, oh God, it's now I'm going to wear a t-shirt. Especially with the raisins, because people,
with the California raisins across it.
Yes.
Grape supremacist.
Oh my. Oh God. This is why we have these conversations, because if we don't talk about anything that is going on in the world and just have the moment of pure silliness, it's a bomb.
We have vegetarians in our community, and it is possible to eat vegetarianly and enjoy it.
No. What I'm saying is that it's not like I go out of my way to say, "Oh my God, zucchini!" No.
Speaking of which, I got it. A friend of mine gave this to me last night. Have you ever had a pawpaw?
Mm-hmm.
Pawpaw. P-A-W-P-A-W.
No,
it's a fruit.
Okay, what is it? I might have had it.
It grows all throughout Appalachia and maybe other areas too. They're about the size of a kiwi fruit, only no fuzz.
Okay.
And when they're ripe, they're like, they're ripe when they look like a banana that's been hanging around your kitchen too long.
Okay. Gotcha.
And some people are kind of about the consistency,
but
the flavor, it's like some places they call it a custard banana.
Ooh,
or a custard.
A custard and banana.
Or a custard apple. And they're just, they're delicious. And I hadn't had one in forever, and a friend gave me one green last night, and I brought it home because I'm gonna introduce the baby to it. Baby, she'll be 5 this month.
Oh, snuggle.
And she may say no. And when she says no, she means no.
That'll be her first word. No.
No. But I think they're absolutely, and I mean, it's kind of peachy, kind of mango-y, and it's got this custard consistency.
Consistency?
Yeah. And I'm thrilled. I can't wait for it to get ripe. Because, like, when they get ripe and they're soft, you can literally just lop the end off and squeeze it, and it'll all, it just squeezes away from the skin. And it's kind of seedy, so you gotta pick through the seeds, but, they're so good. They're so good.
I'm lazy. I don't like stuff that I gotta put in work.
Well, you can always just spit the seeds.
Okay. Jiminy Crickets, I work long and hard. I do stuff. I'm just giving you a hard time. So, okay. Today I have to do my blood test.
Yes.
Right? And so I know people do intermittent fasting and all that. Okay, you know what? After today, intermittent fasting is stupid. I mean, I know it's the rave and people think it's amazing. A bitch was hungry. Okay, and by the time the woman came to do my blood, I had gone from mildly annoyed to hangry. And then she was trying to blame me because she goes, "Did you drink any water today?" I'm like, "I drink damn near a gallon." And she's trying to say I didn't drink enough water to get the blood draw. And I'm like, "No, you just don't know what you're doing." And so she's been being chatty cats and trying to cover up. And I'm becoming, and then remember, because I can't eat until this blood draw is done. And I'm like, if you don't stop talking and get this vein, there's going to be problems. I'm about to kill a bitch up in here. Because I've never gone that long without eating. Okay. And yeah. And so by the time I did eat, I had expended so much energy just trying to stay awake and not go crazy with, for not eating. The only thing I could do was go to sleep. And I can't even imagine, doing that on a regular basis. I think it's cruel. I just think it's just stupid to do to yourself. I mean, again,
no health guru or anything like that, and I don't know the ins and outs about intermittent fasting or anything like that, but why? Because I heard, you know, it's good for your body. It gives your body a rest, your digestive tract, and all these wonderful things and blah, 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 blah. But there's nothing's good that makes Tracy hangry.
No.
Evil.
You're not you when
I
you're hungry.
Anyway, no, I just, no. So I just totally, even Jan was like, okay, I am not going to say anything stupid. I'm just going to stay in my corner and do my work and just, you know, because I'm like, no. No. I again, no. I just. And you deserve a cowbell. I don't know if Dave didn't hear you when you said limbo. There's nothing fun to do on the beach. I chuckled.
Okay, I'll take a small cowbell for that.
You take a small cowbell for that. I'm like, wait, where's your phone? I'm like, wait a minute. You can't let stuff like that slide. I mean, through limbo, you're like. You know, because I'm picturing Harry Belafonte in doing a calypso thing and you know, cocktails with umbrellas and fruit and stuff. You know, when I think of limbo, but you know, hey, that's just me. So, how are you, Robin?
I'm okay. You know, just in a state of perpetual worry. Ralph's just got us down to 1705.
Did you say 17?
Uh-huh. If we could bring in like $10, we wouldn't be at $2,000 for Friday on the front porch, which would be great. So basically, let's see, we're at 1705. So that's we've got, I mean, this is how rough it's gotten. I'm trying to work backwards. We've funded $95 of Thursday, September the 1st.
Okay, y'all, come on now. I mean, seriously, you guys. I can't get words out. Okay. I know, like I said, everybody, you know, people's butts are in a sling. I understand it. I feel it. I know what that's like. I know that slow terror where, you know, every moment is like, okay, is this the day that my lights get turned off? Or is this the day when I go to the grocery store and they run my debit card that, you know, I got to start taking stuff off? Is this the day? It is not a good feeling. And if not, I mean, I know everybody who professors to love you and care about you and everything. Come on, you guys. This is not a hobby. This is not a side hustle for Robin. You know, she is foregoing so many things just to make sure we get this information and we have this show. Because I'm pretty sure if Robin wanted to, she could go get another kind of job that would, you know, that would pay her more, that would give her, you know, medical benefits or what have you. But this is what she chose to do because it's important and necessary work. I know that I have become more politically aware and I pay attention to stuff more than I did before I started listening to her show and all these things. And so, you know, I, because of her show, they can't pull the okey-doke on me. I question stuff. You know, it has elevated my critical thinking skills. I mean, just today I sent Robin an article about how they're going after Karen Bass, because I don't know if you guys remember about the whole USC scandal thing, where that's how they got, you know, stripped of Mark Ridley Thomas. He's still in, he's under indictment, but he they stripped him of his seat at the city, because he's a city, Los Angeles city council person, and all these things. And so back last, and so of course, because she is beating Rick Karen, for those of you who don't know, Karen Bass is running for mayor of Los Angeles. Let me back up. And she's running against a Trump-supporting, racist, anti-abortion, just became, changed his party affiliation at least like only like 2 weeks before the filing deadline to Democrats. So he, because he knew that as a Republican, he would not win. He wouldn't even have a chance in L.A. But because, see, again, you know, you can't pull the okey-doke over me. But anyway, so there's this article today in the L.A. Times saying, you know, trying to tie her back in to this USC scandal mess, because she got a scholarship to go to USC to get her master's in social work. Now, just in 2001, when all this started, they came to, you know, she actually disclosed getting that scholarship when she got it, and she got an approval before she even got the scholarship, okay? But you don't hear about that. You know, they're dragging in us of stuff because they know that they got to do something to keep her from winning and becoming the first black female mayor of Los Angeles. I mean, we haven't had a black mayor since Tom Brady. But it's because of people like, because of Robin, that, you know, I don't read those headlines and automatically assume that, oh my God, she's corrupt. That part. So come on, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to do this.
And well, let me tell you, Emilio got us down under $1,700, so that means we are not at 2,000 tomorrow. We are at $1,695, and that means $1,995 tomorrow. So there's something magically terrifying about that $2,000 mark.
Oh, hunty, that I had to do back in the day to make sure I covered my rent is just, I couldn't sell platelets or whatever it is, plasma, because my veins were so small that I couldn't even, you know, do that. So, and I couldn't sell my eggs because you have black people, so. But it's just the things that people have to do. Speaking of, you know, people being broke. So, you know, that this new thing, you know, pay it, you know, buy now, pay later, or what have you, things about, you know, after pay, or, you know, this is the new thing. You order stuff online and now you can make four payments or what have you. Yeah. People are now using that to pay for groceries.
Right.
People,
yeah.
People are going into, you know, are using this as a way to pay for groceries. Again, why are what kind of country are we living in that people are so desperate it's bad enough that you go into debt to pay your bills, you pay your, you know, your just your bills and your rent and all this. But now you got to go into debt just to buy groceries. And the money merchants and they're loving. These people are profiting off of our misery. And I find it disgusting and reprehensible. And nobody's doing anything about it. At least not yet. But come on. So people. Let's see. I'm going to do... Because I haven't really been working, but you know, I got a couple, you know, change in my pocket. So let's do a $25 challenge, shall we? Let's call it. Oh, I shouldn't do gallows humor because she just died. But
you're gonna go there, aren't you?
Well, okay. I mean, I still think Charles just got tired and said. She got to go.
At 96.
At 96. Like,
Chuckles just woke up and said, you know, this has gone on long enough.
This has gone on long enough. She got to go.
I've already seen a picture of Chuckles, his royal regalia on. I'm still holding out hopes, though. Instead of that military uniform, I really do want to see him with the ermine stole... And the white silk stockings and the high heeled pumps, you know, all George the 30.
Yes, I mean I'm seeing it too. I'm not mad at you for that. I'm not mad at you for that.
You know, just a little rouge on the apples of the cheeks, powdered wig.
Oh God.
So, and you know, he decided he was going to be King Charles, but I think I would have gone for something else, simply because, you know, Chuck Nuts, Chuckles, you know.
It, right, you're setting yourself up, buddy.
Yeah, and plus the fact that at least one King Chuck got headlopped.
Right. You know, read the room, buddy. So in honor of King Chuckles, and now we got to call him King Chuckles. I mean,
yes,
come on. We have to. So, in honor of King Chuckles,
Chuckles the Turd.
The Third.
Chuckles the Turd.
Chuckles the Turd. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not. So, you got to come up with the challenge.
You remember that wonderful lighthearted comedy with John Goodman? Oh, damn it, Matt, you had to, didn't you? Wait a minute. Matt just said, powdered wig, at least that would hide his ears.
Oh!
No, God, that's... and you missed Steve from Georgia Stan's comment earlier that just ruined me. So what does this mean? The people have to follow a cart around with her carcass on it for 3 weeks like a Grateful Dead concert tour? but at least I would hide his ears.
Oh, God.
Oh. God, that'd probably even make Camilla whinny. I mean, laugh. But anyway, you remember that delightful, lighthearted comedy with John Goodman called King Ralphs? Or King Ralph?
Yes.
Remember King Ralph?
Yeah,
so this could be the Give Us King Ralph Instead challenge.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
So that's on the table, and that would get us down to 1645. If anybody wants to answer that, thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much.
So, you know, I just... Robin, you, on more than one occasion, have literally saved my life. Just from... Even if you didn't hear from me, or you know, when I disappeared, there was always this thing in the back of my head about the ass whooping that you would give me if I did anything to myself, that you would pull me out of my grave.
Mm-hmm.
And say, bitch, what? I already know this. I know how much you love me. I know how much my Horn family loves me. Well, some of them do anyway. But for those who do, and for those who don't, you know, I have zero fucks to give to those people. But for those that do, because, see, without you, we have no Horn family. You are the matriarch of this family. How about that?
Wow, that never dawned on me.
But you are. You are the matriarch. You are the head of this family. You are the matriarch of this family. And with that said, you know, their honor is to be given. Because it's not easy being a matriarch, trust. So when people, and it's about community, and see, you know, guys know I'm in grad school. Holy shit, the ton of work I have to do. Holy God, but that's a whole other conversation. But anyway, my master's is going to be in diverse community development leadership, and it's about community, developing community, giving voices to marginalized people within these marginalized communities, and things about and addressing why these, you know, between, you know, misogyny, racism, structural and institutional racism, all the things, all the isms and all that, and what it takes to build a community, what is community, and what, you know, because you have all these different definitions of community. Community is where you are safe, where you are comfortable, where you are cared for, where people have a love for you and do everything they can do to make sure you are taken care of. So with that said, you know, foreign community, we got to take care of our matriarch. Bottom line. Because she cannot do what she does without our help. Now, this is not prayer meeting Wednesday, but I feel like I'm doing a sermon on the mount.
A little bit of an altar call, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's a bit of an altar call. You know, I didn't spend my entire life growing up in a Baptist church, not to learn, not to, you know, have a few tricks up my sleeve as far as the altar call is concerned. You know what I'm saying? But seriously, y'all, I mean, I love Robin, and I when I call and we talk up there, and I hear the desperation in her, voice now. She does her level best to cover it up, but there's only so much you can do. And I know there's people on that are listening to this call right now who understand what it's like to struggle, to understand what it's like to, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you can't even rob Peter no more because you didn't rob him so much you can't even use him to pay.
Yeah, and
Paul.
They're both pissed.
And they both hot because you still got to pay Peter back for the rent. Yeah. It's just a vicious cycle. And I've only been out of that vicious cycle for the last few years. So the memory is still fresh, and it will never go away. It is what keeps me very humble and very appreciative to everything that I have and everything that I will be getting when I get my master's. And so what I am saying, again, y'all, come on now, players. Oh, Jesus, there's a Rams game, and I'm in the middle of...
Oh, no.
What I am saying. Well, actually, it might not be too bad. It's still early, And I screwed up and went down the wrong. I should not have gone down this street, but it is what it is. But with that said, you guys, come on now. But anywho, enough of the beseeching and the begging. So speaking of my degree, so I, you know, as a cab driver, you have to make I'm in a mood, but most of the time I'm in a mood, and you make conversation with your customers because, you know, you want to make sure that you hopefully get a decent tip, you know, because, hey, it's about the tip. So, anywho, I picked up this family the other day from the airport, and, you know, we're talking about school and stuff, and, you know, so I was getting my degree. And they asked me what I was getting it in. I told them, and you know, what is the, you know, about the diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you know, despite the, you know, like I said, structural racism and all that, right? And so the white woman asked me, she's like, "What is, so what is your background?" That was it. And I said, "Oh, no, 56 years of being a black woman in this country. That's my background."
That's a lot of background.
My bad. That's a lot of background. And I, but, and then I, and now back to you. And I'm just thinking about your background, of everything that you have accomplished up until this point. Your education, your experience as a, you know, working at CNN and as a disc jockey, and all these things that you have done to come and do this. It's a lot. It is a lot. And again, I don't know how much I don't know if we really appreciate what we have in Robin. That part is just the things that we take for granted, that people take for granted, that they take for granted that every day, Monday through Friday, like in my case, from my time, 2 to 5 p.m., I'm going to turn on, tune in, or whatever, and you're going to be there.
That's the goal.
And that's the goal, and this is what we're hoping for. But if we don't contribute and keep her on the air, it's going to be a problem. There's going to be that, you know, because don't sit back and say, well, I'll contribute tomorrow, or I'll contribute next week, or whatever the case may be, because they might not be a next week. Like I said, if you got it, you know, again, give up. What would happen if you gave up Starbucks one day a week or whatever? This is the stuff that I just want people to understand and realize what we got. Because you don't know what is that song? You don't know what you got till it's gone. And I don't ever want Robin to be gone. Unless she decides to say, you know what? That's a wrap. I'm moving on. I'm doing something else. Let that be her decision.
Well,
not because
and I did want to bring something to your attention this evening, because we've been talking about this game-changing new law in California that gives some degree of meaningful expanded rights to fast food workers.
So it did pass.
It passed the legislature. It was signed into law on Labor Day by Gavin Newsom. And now Protect Neighborhood Restaurants, an AstroTurf group, has filed a referendum request. There's so much to love about California. I do not love the referendum business.
No.
Because it is a business.
It is a business.
Protect Neighborhood Restaurants, which is about, you know, as much about neighborhoods as it is as you know, I'm about integral calculus,
There you go. That's a good one. Okay, because you had to come up with something there. It was like
this allows them. This is the first step. This referendum request with the Attorney General is the first step before they start gathering signatures. And if they get enough signatures, which they will get by any means necessary, skeevy, dodgy, fake, fraud, phony, whatever, then the law gets enjoined and can't go into effect until there's a goddamn ballot referendum on it.
Right.
They'll start doing the
scare tactics, commercials like they did when we were trying to get...
What are you gonna do when the dollar menu goes up to being a $2 menu?
Right.
Because these liars are already out there saying, well, it's gonna raise consumer costs, it isn't needed, and it's gonna create a fractured economy with different regulations for different kinds of restaurants. And this coalition, this neighborhood, Protect Neighborhood Restaurants, is a front for the International Franchise Association and the National Restaurant Association.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you're a franchise with more than 100 customers, more than 100 employees, that's the break point. So mom and pop restaurants that, you know, might have 10, you know, two or three people in the kitchen and two or three people waiting tables and a couple of people at front of house, it's not going to touch them.
Exactly. It's the people, these big franchises. It's just like, you know, I believe it was the 2016 election, besides, you know, what else happened. The fact that, because we actually, there was on the ballot, two things on the ballot. It was to regulate dialysis clinics and also to rent control. And so what happened is they had all the, you know, like the dialysis people, you know, because I don't even know how much dialysis companies make, but I know it's a shit ton of money. And of course it was the money, you know, behind the, you know, scaring people into not voting to get rent control in the entire state of California. It was headed by people like, I don't know, you know, real estate developers, like, you know, the person that's running against Karen Bass for mayor of Los Angeles. And of course, neither one passed because they scared people, because they, again, they're made up of these corporations because they want to keep their money. They want to work people to death. They don't want to pay them. They don't want to give them benefits. They don't want to do shit but work people to death. And like we said, we said this morning, if a company cannot afford to pay their employees a living wage, then they shouldn't be in business. What did you say about their business model? What did you say? If it's based on fear,
if it's predicated on keeping people in a constant state of terror by the payment of low wages, that's not a business plan. That's abuse. And they don't deserve to be in business.
Exactly. Holy shit, this guy looking straight at me, y'all, just going the wrong way down a one-way street. And looking at me like I was doing something wrong. And here comes another one. Okay. Is there...
Okay, check yourself. are you going the right way down? Are you going the right way down the one-way street? Just make sure.
Yes, because there's a sign.
In those instances, I will, and because I generally don't, but I will drop the dime on those kind of drivers. I had, the US 19 is the four-lane highway that crosses the New River Gorge. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was out.
So what happened to the Old River Gorge? I'm sorry.
Tracy?
I was...
Bitch, please.
Oh, I got a bitch, please.
So I was on US. So I was on US 19 southbound, headed toward the bridge, and I see headlights coming toward me. And I'm like, what? And lo and behold, I mean, we got a lot of two lane roads, but this isn't one of them. And guy just passes me. On the in the left lane of my two lane road, me in the right lane, he in the left, just zips past me at 65 miles an hour.
Oh.
And I picked up the phone and I hit 911 and I noted my mile marker and I said, "Y'all, I don't ordinarily do this." I gave him my name, my address, my phone number. I said, "There is a dude driving northbound in the southbound lane of 19, and he is gonna get killed or kill someone else."
Somebody.
Please tell me you got a deputy somewhere nearby.
Well, see, in this case, because, you know me, I'm always scoping out ways to get around traffic. Like, for example, there's the game tonight. And fortunately for me, I know the back way, and nobody's heading, at least not this time of the day yet, heading east. I'm sorry, west on Century, because there's different places to come into the stadium. This is right now, like I said, as long as I still drop off the kids this time of the day, because I'm driving down Century right now, and it's okay. Everything's fine. And once I get past Prairie, see, this is actually interesting because this is my first time driving, because the girls that I pick up now, they live by SoFi Stadium. And I've never driven by SoFi during a game or anything like that. So this is interesting to see. I don't know who they're playing tonight. I can't tell. Because I just see a bunch of Rams colors. I don't see colors for the opposing team. But it's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, it's still early enough that, because what time is the football game? What time does Thursday night football start? 6 o'clock?
You're asking a girl in the wrong time zone.
Well, okay, if it was on the East Coast, what time would it start?
I think, yeah, 9. I think you're right.
Okay, so it's 6 o'clock, and so, I mean, it's a quarter to 5 right now, so I think I'm good. Like I said, once I get past Prairie, which is the next two lights after where I am, I should be okay. Yeah, I don't know who they're playing, because I usually see the opposing team's colors. Well, oh God, so no wonder the airport's been so busy for the last couple of days.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, people coming in.
Who? Okay, somebody in the, because I'm driving, so I can't look it up. Somebody got, because it's going to make it crazy. Somebody look up who the Rams are playing tonight.
Okay, I'm doing it. I'm a full service.
A full service thing. Come on now.
Okay. Let's see. Thursday, 8 September, Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Does anybody care about this?
This event is selling fast for Los Angeles Rams. Tickets from $122.
Mm-hmm.
Who could afford that?
Oh, let's not talk about how much it costs to go to a Dodger game now. See, back in the day, the one sport
here in LA.
Oh, and thanks, Ralphs. Thanks. Ralphs was right on it. The Bills.
Okay. At least back in the day, the Dodgers was, you know, you could take your entire family. It was inexpensive. Yeah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Because Janet and I, as a matter of fact, the weekend that Chris was here, 4th of July weekend, you know, Chris was talking about let's go to a Dodger game. And so, and see, okay, y'all know my wife is persnickety. She's a diehard Lakers fan, and even with everything that the Lakers are putting her through, she still loves for the Lakers, but she really loves the Dodgers, right? And so, because she hasn't been to a Laker game in a million years. So there's really no big place where she's going to care about sitting at Staples. And I don't care if it's now called crypto.com, whatever the hell. Fuck y'all. It'll always be Staples Center. How dare they? But anywho.
Yep, right.
Sorry, I digress.
I mean, before that, it was the Forum.
Well, no. The Forum. No, Staples Center was built.
Yeah. No. I was just thinking generally. Yeah. Well, that's like so SoFi Stadium is not the Coliseum.
No. So it used to be Hollywood Park, the horse racing track. And I did not realize just how big Hollywood Park was until they tore everything down and they built SoFi. I'm like, shit. That was a lot of property. So now, in place of the Hollywood Park racetrack, they built SoFi Stadium. And on the side of SoFi Stadium, you have the U2 Theater, where I will be going to see Tom Jones. If anybody says a word, I will snatch them.
Whoa.
Yeah. So SoFi and the Forum, both of those are in Inglewood. The Staples Center, and mad disrespect, because how dare you rename Staples, because Staples Center is, they call it the house that Kobe built. Because that's where Kobe basically, you know, and so when you, this is how low key, and because they knew how hot people were going to be about changing the name to Staples from Staples Center to crypto, whatever. They kind of announced it, but you know, it wasn't a big, you know, hoopla about it. You know what I'm saying? Because people were like, when people come to LA and I'm driving up through downtown and they ask, you know, I said, that's Staples Center. And I don't care what they call it now. It's like, okay, it's like Rite Aid. I don't care what you call it. It is still Thrifty's. Because they still sell Thrifty's ice cream. Did you guys sell Thrifty's out there?
No. No.
Oh, okay. So, you know, so Thrifty's is now Rite Aid. But they still have, in Rite Aid, they still have the ice cream counters. The ones that haven't been taken over and turned into Walgreens. Because Walgreens bought Thrifty's. I don't know. I can't keep up with this corporate rating bullshit. But you're talking about some of the best ice cream ever. I mean, so back in the day when we were kids, so a scoop of Thrifty's ice cream was a nickel, a double scoop was 10 cents, and a triple was 15. Now, if you were Bugetto,
and we do love that word,
Bugetto, then you got to go to Baskin Robbins because a scoop of Baskin Robbins was a quarter Robin. So, you know, if you were smelling, you know, if you felt like y'all were pissing.
Yeah, all the millennials in the audience are, what?
What? A quarter? So, you know, when we got to go to Baskin Robbins, it's like, what? It's like, I mean, it was a big deal, girl. It was like, oh, wow.
It was a seasonal flavor. Dear God, now we're down to ice cream. It was a seasonal flavor, and Baskin-Robbins would come out every now and then with German chocolate cake ice cream.
Coconut,
hunks of pecan, a caramel ribbon, pieces of chewy chocolate, brownie stuff.
I can do everything but the coconut. I can do everything but the coconut. You know how I am about coconut.
Yeah, but I thought, okay, I had it backwards. I thought you could handle coconut, but you couldn't handle coconut flavoring. I had it backwards.
No, I can handle coconut as long as there's no flakes. I love the flavor of coconut. I adore it. I mean, that's why people are like, how do you freak out so bad about coconut? I just don't like the flakes. There's something about those flakes that get caught in your teeth and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no, I'm just, I can't. I think at some point in my youth, I might have been molested by a mountain bar. What?
Really? Last night it was Scott and the Blueberry Popsicle, and tonight, you people.
Well, see, no, is that so much? Okay, so now I kind of remember. So when I was a kid, you know, when you're a kid, you you see chocolate, and so I did not rip. So I'm thinking that I'm biting into a chocolate bar, you know, chocolate and stuff like that. Did not know I was biting into just a chocolate covered a hunk of coconut. So I was caught off guard, and ever since then I just like, nah, I don't fuck with coconut. So that was it. I was bamboozled into thinking that I was biting into a completely chocolate bar, and it was fucking coconut, and I'm like, this is some bullshit. But anyway, I know you gotta go because, oh my god, it's 4:57. Has anybody sent any money in? Please say yes.
No, we'd rather have King Ralph's challenge is as yet unfulfilled.
Well, there's always tonight, you know, when people listen to the show, it will remain in effect until tomorrow, you know, Friday on the front porch. I don't know if I'm going to be able to listen to the show, but this will remain in effect until tomorrow, until the end of the show. So
wonderful. I appreciate it. You know I do.
Yeah, I know you do, so I'm going to let you go, because I got to call the Oompa Loompa, better known as the wife, to figure out what the fuck we're going to do for dinner, because I have yet to get my
girl
ass in. What?
Oompa Loompa?
She knows I call her Oompa Loompa.
I know, it just, I had a flashback to George W. Bush writing poetry to Laura, you remember that one?
No! Wait, what?
Violets are blue, roses are red. I do love you, my lump in the bed.
No! No, 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 you're lying. You're making that up.
Nuh-uh. Nuh-uh.
Like, now, while I'm on the subject of you lying, you're making that shit up. What you read about Trump sending that message, you made that up, right?
No.
That was not what he said.
Well, I mean, I added a few things here and there, but
I know you added a few things here and there, but
no, that long wall of self-aggrandizing text over the death of the Queen of England, that was all him, honey.
Oh, and then you compare it to what our forever First Lady and her husband. You see what I did there, right?
Yes. I see what you did there. Well, you know, and by the way, yeah, we got to get out of here, but you do know she threw some serious shade when they finally got around to
doing their portrait?
Their portrait ceremony, and her portrait is just beautiful.
Oh, isn't it just like,
And his is totally different, you know, him against that white background. I mean, that white background.
Class all the way.
Yeah, but she's just elegant and lovely, and God, bless his heart, he's turned into Ossie Davis.
Oh,
I mean, he's still you know, tall and handsome, but that hair, yes. that hair has gone Ossie Davis Snow White.
And so it's Snow White. It's so what does, I mean, because I know Michelle Boucher. What did our forever first lady say?
Well, stand by. I was just getting a little drink. Water. Here. This is, you know, from the woman who gave us, when they go low, we go high. I think she just cut with ever so subtly, cut that adipose jiggling wad of insecurities and hatreds off at the knees. Here we go.
I never could have imagined that any of this would be part of my story. But even if it's all still a bit awkward for me, I do recognize why moments like these are important, why all of this is absolutely necessary. Traditions like this matter, not just for those of us who hold these positions, but for everyone participating in and watching our democracy. You see, the people, they make their voices heard with their vote. We hold an inauguration to ensure a peaceful transition of power. Those of us lucky enough to serve, work, as Barack said, as hard as we can for as long as we can, as long as the people choose to keep us here. And once our time is up, we move on. And all that remains in this hallowed place are our good efforts and these portraits. Portraits that connect our history to the present day. Portraits that hang here as history continues to be made. So for me, this day is not just about what has happened. It's also about what could happen. Because a girl like me, she was never supposed to be up there next to Jacqueline Kennedy and Dolly Madison. She was never supposed to live in this house, and she definitely wasn't supposed to serve as First Lady.
Love you, Michelle.
Love you back. But I've always wondered, where does that supposed to come from? Who determines it? And too often in this country, people feel like they have to look a certain way or act a certain way to fit in, that they have to make a lot of money or come from a certain group or class or faith in order to matter. But what we're looking at today, a portrait of a biracial kid with an unusual name and the daughter of a water pump operator and a stay-at-home mom, what we are seeing is a reminder that there's a place for everyone in this country. Because as Barack said, the two of us can end up on the walls of the most famous address in the world. Then again, it is so important for every young kid who is doubting themselves to believe that they can too. That is what this country is about. It's not about blood or pedigree or wealth. It's a place where everyone should have a fair shot. Whether you're a kid taking two buses and a train just to get to school, or a single mother who's working two jobs to put some food on the table, or an immigrant just arriving, getting your first apartment, forging a future for yourself in a place you dreamed of. That's why, for me, this day isn't about me or Barack. It's not even about these beautiful paintings. It's about telling that fuller story, a story that includes every single American in every single corner of the country, so that our kids and grandkids can see something more for themselves. And as much as some folks might want us to believe that that story has lost some of its shine, that division and discrimination and everything else might have dimmed its light, I still know, deep in my heart, that what we share, as my husband continues to say, is so much bigger than what we don't. Our democracy is so much stronger than our differences. And this little girl from the South Side is blessed beyond measure to have felt the truth of that fuller story throughout her entire life never more so than today. So thank you to President Biden, to Sharon, and to all of you today for playing a part in this day and all the days that led to it.
Pure class. But that was some top quality shade.
Oh man, it just dropped. I think it was 94 degrees when you started that segment. Now it's down to 74.
Yeah, I mean, and once our time is up, we move on.
We move on. Girl is, I mean, remember again, Michelle's from the South Side. You don't fuck with somebody.
Yeah, no, she from no the she. South Side of Chicago. She has other words, but not yes. But too classy, and
too
you know,
classy. She, yeah, I'm not classy.
Yeah, right, me neither. I'm a bitch. And that's fine. You know, she can leave it to the rest of us to refer to him as a jiggling, waddling, adipose lump of hatreds and insecurities.
Right. It's just with tiny hands.
With tiny hands.
So that part. So,
and ketchup.
And ketchup. But, again, Robin, I love you, and you guys just one more time. I'm saying, you know, I ain't, when it comes to my girl, I ain't too proud to beg. I'm begging on her behalf, heeding the teaching, all the words. Come on. I hope that if I get a chance to hear the show tomorrow, that I will hear that my challenge was met and then.
I hope so.
I am out. I love y'all. Good night. And you know, all that other bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, get home. Get out of that traffic. Tracy, be good, dear.
Yeah, actually, I'm making pretty good time. So, yeah, I'm a happy camper. So, I love you guys, and I will talk to you later.
All right. Love you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And so we come to the end of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Ending with that classy shade casting from Michelle Obama was kind of uplifting. So, thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room earlier this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Time's running out to get your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Please, please reach out. Please. This would be such a grassroots victory if we could get the thing passed. Stay safe. Keep an eye out for when you can get your booster. It'll be an annual thing now. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear your mask because the maggots ye have always with ye. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, if somebody with two or three shirts on that looks like rancid hot dog water smells comes burbling toward you out of a limousine, hollering about how he's being persecuted, avoid that maggot like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.